What's up, everyone? Thank you for tuning in today's episode of Tofu Talk.
For those of you who don't know us, we are two Asian Americans with very different backgrounds that are clearly shown in our personalities.
This is a podcast where we'll share our experiences, mistakes, and more that will hopefully entertain you and maybe even make you think a little.
We hope you enjoy the episode.
Hello, everybody. This is Asia speaking.
What's going on, guys? John over here.
And we are super excited to be recording the finale of our friendships series. Oh, we should have brought some chips right now.
We ate all the chips.
We already ate chips, and it's like, well, I guess it's 1:16 p.m., but we're having them for, like, breakfast.
Yeah.
But no judgment here. So today's episode is very special. As I said, it's our series finale of the friendship series, but we have a very special, well, he is a host, but very special person here who we will be having a lovely conversation with, and he is the host of the Grateful Living podcast, and he is our pal, our new pal, Arnie. So Arnie is a mental health advocate who publishes weekly episodes to inspire you to be the best you that you can be. He also is a YouTuber sharing moments of his life through very fun and entertaining vlogs. So, welcome, Arnie.
Welcome.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for the nice intro.
No problem. We just scrapped it together real quick, but we'll get into your story and everything a little bit more so everyone listening here can get to know you and everything that you do, because it's a lot. You do a lot of work for the greater good.
Quickly, before we jump into the episode, if you haven't already, you're listening to this episode, go back, look at the last two, the episode one, part one and part two of the friendship series. We discussed the importance of seeking, growing, and maintaining friendships. So if you like this episode, I'm sure you're going to like the last two as well. But Arnie, I mean, do you want to dive right into this? Or?
Yeah, we can dive right into it.
Let's do it up. All right, so Arnie, you also host a, the Grateful Living podcast. It's, you know, very successful. I saw you just hit 10,000 plays in the last month. You know, congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you, yeah.
Curious, how did you decide to start the Grateful Living podcast?
Yeah, so it's an interesting process. My friend in March of 2019, unfortunately, committed suicide. And so, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, with a lot of tragedies like that, you see that the response tends to always be the same, which is we mourn for that period of time, and then everybody tends to move on with life. And, you know, one of the interesting things about suicide is it's preventable, right? It's someone taking the action, you know, to take their own life. And so, you know, for me, you know, his life mattered, and I wasn't going to let, you know, life to go on as is. So, you know, I was just, you know, brainstorming throughout that year. One of the things that I had done, you know, at that time I didn't have any, you know, sort of Grateful Living or anything like that. But basically I just went on my personal social media and was just like, if anybody wants to, you know, ever talk about mental health issues or things like that, you know, I'm open to it. I've dealt with certain things myself and I'm always here, you know. And I think you guys have faced this too, is, you know, you've become working professionals, our time becomes limited. And so we can't keep up with everyone. And that's maybe something we'll talk about, you know, with regards to friendship. But, you know, and so that's what I did. I was like, this is my call. You know, anybody that wants to, I'm doing whatever I can in terms of, you know, putting myself out there, open to conversation. Then in fall of 2019, I actually entered into a part-time MBA at Babson. And Babson's a big entrepreneurial school. And one of the things that they talk about is entrepreneurial action, thought and action. And basically, their whole thing is, you know, there are all these problems in the world, but look at them as opportunities to solve. And so, you know, as you know, March of that 2020 was coming, and the 1 year anniversary was coming, and, you know, I'm taking these business school courses and things like that. I looked at it and I realized, you know, there is a problem in terms of destigmatizing mental health. And so I said, you know, why don't I try to do whatever I can on my part? So I just started out. Initially, it was just on my iPhone recording. You know, the first four episodes are just audio. It's just different mental health topics that I thought of that, you know, people tend to deal with, like career and professional stress and things like that. And then I quickly realized, you know, obviously I have my story, but it's just my story. And there's so many different other topics in the world, like, you know, being an African American in the U.S. or coming out as a lesbian or bi. You know, these are topics that, you know, I can't speak of. And so just interviewing other people and sharing authentic conversations to help others. One of the biggest regrets that I have with respect to my friend who died in March of 2019 was I never told him about my own issues. And, you know, it's one of those things where in the perfection culture of undergraduate education, you know, had I been open to him about, listen, I've dealt with suicidal thoughts and things of that nature, I'm here as a resource. And especially, it fits into your friendship theme too. There's no telling what that could have done. And it's because it's one of those things where you don't know if he had a friend that he knew of that dealt with mental health issues to the point that he dealt with it. Mm-hmm. And had I been open with that, you just never know what the outcome could have been. And, you know, these are tangible losses. You know, he could have lived another 60 years. He could have been a, you know, a husband or a father. And so, you know, that's really how it started. Hopefully that answered.
No, that's really, yeah. I'm glad you gave us the whole backstory, because something you actually said right there at the end is how you wonder about what if you had shared what you were experiencing with your friend, would that have impacted him in any way, made him feel less alone? And I think about times where I felt the most depressed or the most upset or alone, and then I happen upon a conversation with a friend, and they expressed to me that they also have been feeling similar feelings. And not that that makes me feel better, like I'm not happy that my friend is also going through shitty situations or shitty times, but it makes me feel less alone. And when we as humans, we can relate to one another, it makes the human experience a little bit more manageable, because life is hard and we all go through things, but what can make it better is knowing that you're not the only one feeling that way, which is what I love that you, that's kind of what I feel like your podcast is, like you're letting people know like what you're feeling is you're not alone. Other people are feeling this. I feel this. So, yeah.
100%. And it's one of those things that, and as much as I do it, you know, in terms of being an advocate for mental health, it was interesting that you said that, because I remember, you know, soon after I had started this journey, you know, I had an open conversation with some of my closest friends about the time that I was closest to suicide. You know, I was in my car on the way to a gun store, and, you know, I had that conversation, and afterwards, one of my friends, who I view as someone who always, like, has had their, you know, things together, you know, just been someone who is solid, you know, never gets too high, never gets too low, you know, has always been, you know, relatively successful in life, and after that time, he said to me, you know, Arnie, actually, I probably should have told you this, but I actually go to a therapist twice a month. And it was crazy because for me, it really humanized it, because I'm looking at him, I'm like, this is someone I'm trying to emulate. He doesn't worry about things. He seems to always be in a good headspace, like always. And for him to come out and say that to me was really powerful, because it was like, okay, like I'm not crazy. Mm-hmm. Like if he's dealing with this and, you know, he's seeing, you know, a therapist twice a month, like, okay, like it's just, we all keep these things private, but we all, like, not all of us, but a good amount of us go through, you know, mental health ups and downs.
I don't want to put a focus on, like, male versus female, but I know, like, just personally, like, with me and my friends, it's much less spoken about. You know, we don't, and I guess it depends on the friendships, but for a majority, you know, you talk about what, you know, what the Celtics did last night, talk about, you know, where you're going out to, you know, to the bar tomorrow night. You don't really talk about how you're doing, right? And I think the pandemic, though, did a pretty good job on of opening up those conversations. Because, like, you know, one thing that happened to me just, like, a few, you know, with the last week or 2 weeks ago, you know, I went on a little road trip with my buddies, and you know, we started opening up and having some of those conversations, some deeper talks around how we're feeling, whether it's, how we feel like where we are right now in our lives or whatever it might be. And I feel like just as males, we don't have that conversation as much. So I'm glad to hear at least, you know, you have reached out to people to kind of have those conversations more often. But I don't know. I think that kind of just goes along with having those more meaningful friendships like we were trying to discuss in our episode last week.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100% because, you know, it's something – and again, we're just talking about in generalities, but like females, you know, they tell each other everything. I mean, like, you know, in terms of like, you know, like, you know, if it's a guy they're dating or whatever, like they're so open with everything, you know, usually for the most part. Whereas for guys, we like don't ever, you know, talk about like, oh, cool, you're dating her. Nice. Yeah. Good luck. Like, it's just like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not like, oh, like, what did you guys do on your date? Like, how did you feel or anything?
Yep.
And, you know, you're right. I mean, the interesting thing about, you know, our culture, especially college to post-grad, is so much of it is built on drinking. And in those areas of, like, say, you know, the three of us are meeting up, right? A lot of the times it'll be for dinner or for drinks or like, you know, we're going to a bar. And in those situations, you really can't have, you know, deep mm-hmm. conversations when you're at a bar and there's a lot of loud music or loud people around you. And so that's another big thing that we don't do. And it was nice, you know, when the three of us met up, we met up for lunch and it was like, you know, we got to have an actual dialogue on who we were, our past, and stuff like that. And, you know, when you're only meeting up with your friends on like a Friday night or a Saturday night, it's not conducive to having these conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to want to, when you're trying to, you know, get drunk and dance, like want to talk about, you know, do you like your job or do you not? You know what I mean? Like, so I think being intentional about meeting at times, you know, if you can, without drinking being a part of it, maybe in the afternoon or things of that nature, can also be really powerful.
I'm just so curious because, like, what you guys are saying about, like, how girls tell each other everything, I feel like, for example, like, let's say my friend is, she just started dating a new guy, I will ask her so many questions. I'll be like, so how did, like, you feel? Like, how did you feel on the date? Like, were you guys vibing well? Like, how was the conversation? I'll ask all the intricate questions about, like, how she's feeling. And I wonder if, like, sometimes guys will be like, so, like, it was good? Okay, cool.
And that's, like, I think that's how it really is. It's like, how was it? Oh, you had fun? What'd you guys do? Like, at dinner? Nice, dude. That's awesome.
Like, see, like, it's so funny because it's like, I sometimes will ask my friend, like, I don't even know what they did because all of my questions are focused on how did you feel? Like, did he make you feel good? Like, were you happy.
I'll be honest. I think with guys, like my guy friends, a lot more of the conversation goes like sexual things.
Yeah.
Just how it tends to be. I don't know. I mean, that might also just be my group of friends in particular, but I don't know. It just seems like it's that tends to be where the conversation goes sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's yeah, I feel like guys don't tend to go deeper than the general, what did you do? Did you like it? You think you'll see her again? Like that kind of,
mm-hmm.
Whereas you guys will actually dive into like, can you see a future? Like, yeah. Stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. No, definitely.
I think it's also different, like based on your friendship too. Like I will only ask like, oh, how are you feeling? Like if it's one of my closer friends, whereas like if it's a more like just acquaintance, I'll be like, oh great, like what'd you guys do, like did you have fun, simple things. But mm-hmm. but in order to get to that closer friendship, like maybe that's kind of where we need to have the more intentional hangouts, like you're saying. So
definitely.
I got to have those closer conversations because I was intentional about having those hangouts where I could. I wasn't at a club asking them this while we're like dancing. We're just like getting coffee or something so that I felt we could have this conversation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ah, interesting. Okay.
I think it's what I get jealous sometimes of you.
It was interesting.
You can go, Arnie.
It was just interesting what you like, because like, John, what you had said was like, we're just like the facts of the situation. Like, where'd you guys go? Was it fun? Like that. And then, Asia, you talked about the feelings. Guys would tend to almost always follow John's.
But do you, my question is, as men, are we avoiding it? Is it avoidance or is it just that we don't think about it? Because to be honest, I think it's almost avoidance. I don't want to ask my friends that question because I don't want to know what their answer is. I don't want to.
Really?
I just feel like it could even like, oh, we're all hanging out. Like maybe we're watching the game. Maybe we're really just hanging out, having a drink or something. If I'm like, oh, how'd you feel? Like, how'd she make you feel? Like, what are your thoughts? It's just be like, dude, like, relax, like, back off. Like, it's almost like territorial. Like I'm almost like infringing on like their territory kind of feeling. Huh. That's the way at least I feel about it. And on the,
I just think guys don't like to talk about feelings. It's viewed as soft and it's viewed as like, you know, I don't want to know those, you know, kind of things about you. And, you know, like one of my friends in one of the friend groups I'm in recently went through a breakup, and like all of us got like a, you know, like a one sentence summary. And I'm like, there's a person like he's dated for like 4 or 5 years. Like we should probably be getting more than a one sentence summary on, oh, like, there was some issue and they couldn't see eye to eye. And so they broke up. It was just like, okay, interesting. I guess we're not going to dive into the weeds, but.
Yep. I've had that happen a couple of times.
Yeah. Wow.
Wait, Arnie, I want to go back to this one thing you said right at the beginning. It's probably the first line you said when I asked you why you decided to start the podcast, but you said, you told me about obviously, you know, your friend who committed suicide in 2019 and how what generally happens is you mourn and then everyone moves on, but how you wanted to kind of keep it, I guess, or almost, I guess, that idea along with kind of your MBA class, you kind of found a problem to try to solve along those lines. I find that extremely intriguing because I don't think people recognize that that's what happens. It happens far too often in these kind of times of trauma or in death in any aspect, right? No matter whether it's an illness or whether it's like a physical illness versus a mental illness or whatever that happens. So I just want to tell you, I really love the fact that that's one of the reasons why you started your podcast. I really find that inspiring.
It was interesting. One of the like things that I've realized is how little authentic conversations are put out into the public.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anytime, right? So like anytime, you know, Giannis is being interviewed, right? He's being interviewed on his basketball game. It's a 15-minute conversation. And, you know, we have the mutual friend, Danny, and, you know, she talked about her story of attempting suicide and her mental health journey afterwards, you know, and that blew up. Like, that had, like, 500 plays on YouTube alone. And it was like, I had all these random people hitting me up because literally there was no reference point of anyone talking about these things. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure if we go, I mean, I'd have to check on YouTube. I'm sure there's, you know, obviously YouTubers that have talked about it. But like, for 500 people in my network or in her network combined, like, didn't have a reference point of feeling like they, you know, had an authentic conversation of, you know, talking about attempting suicide or things of that nature. It shows you, and that, you know, granted, that's a very deep conversation, but it's one of those things where it's like, we just don't have authentic conversations publicly. Mm-hmm. It's just really not out there. So much of us, you know, and it makes sense, you know, we're so worried about our careers and looking perfect and things of that nature. We just hide these topics and we don't talk about them. And that leads to, because I don't want my work to, you know, fire me, or I don't want to get laid off, mm-hmm. that we don't talk about any of these things. Yet all of us go through all of these things. There's just a huge disconnect. And, you know, I understand it because people have to worry about how they're making money and things of that nature. But that fear of what the repercussions of being authentic, you know, it's held back our society.
I love, so very relatable. Our last two episodes, we had a couple people reach out to us and were just saying how they were so, they really enjoyed the topic. Right, because it's a topic that a lot of people aren't open to talking about. Struggling to grow your friendship, find friends, maintain friendships at our age, a lot of people don't like to talk about. It's not something that they want to put out there that they have, maybe have the confidence in discussing. So we had a lot of people, or a couple of people at least, reach out to us that were saying, hey, really, really enjoyed the, you know, the topic of the series, like really impressed by it. Glad, you know, happy that someone's, you know, putting out this authentic types of content around like a topic of like friendship. So I very relatable. I think you're right. I think it's people don't feel, I don't know if it's that they don't feel comfortable talking about it in public, whether it's for those reasons, whether it's because of a job or because they might get laid off, whatever it might be. I think it's like they don't want other people's perception of them to change, honestly. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think so too. It's like I wouldn't want to, or like, it's not fun talking about like being lonely, or it's not fun to talk about these things. Like, I'd rather talk about something else, honestly, something more fun, and not bring down the whole mood of the environment with my problems. So I think it's like a bit of that, not wanting to be a burden to other people, or not bringing down the vibes.
I gotcha.
Being responsible for that. Yeah.
Yeah, and social media plays a huge part in that. Yep. In terms of, you know, having the perfect social media account and looking like you have the perfect lifestyle. You know, it was interesting, John, what you said, and I don't know the exact facts, but I was looking at, I watched the Friends reunion episode, the 25-year reunion, and Matthew Perry dealt with, you know, alcoholism. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things where he had worked with these, you know, five other individuals for 10 years straight. And they literally had no idea he was going through. Like, they found out, he came out towards the end of, you know, what, like 2003, 2004, he started talking about it publicly on, you know, shows like Oprah. But like, you're literally working with these people for 10 straight years and none of them know that you're dealing Wow. with this thing. It's just crazy.
That really is wild to me that, especially like for coworker, or I feel like sometimes coworkers, I spend more time with them than my friends these days.
So my like family.
Yeah. They know even more about me because they see me when I'm like, get into work and I'm like sleepy and they see me at my worst basically.
When you're frustrated.
When I'm frustrated with a project or something else. But yeah, that's wild to think that none of the coworkers knew that.
And I think Matthew said like It's similar to what you said in terms of I didn't want to be a burden to others and things of that nature. And the coworkers were like, well, but that's our job as friends, you know, is to be there for you in the good and the bad. But, you know, obviously it was a totally different time period where, you know, I don't think he felt, you know, it was the, you know, comfortable, you know, I think being that vulnerable and opening up like that, it's a tough, you know, personal thing that he just didn't.
Yeah.
Right. Been,
what we were talking about, the, you know, the man thing and
yeah,
not sharing feelings.
Arnie, so I got a question. Since you started the podcast, have you been having more of these conversations like in your own life with your friends, more deeper conversations? Have you like just been going up to like some of your buddies and being like, hey, like, how are you? Or like, I'm just curious, just for tips at this point, honestly.
Yeah, I think the main thing is, and I think you guys have talked about this in the last two episodes, but just being your authentic self, right? I think that's the biggest value of friendship is I can be who I am. And, you know, and it's still tough, but I've told my friends, like, when I text you or call you and I say, how are you? Like, if you're not good, you can say, I'm not good. And I think that's been a real nice change because I've gotten the, I'm okay. Like, and I'll be, and it's so refreshing because, especially to what Asia said, like, I'm you know, I've done this myself where I'll just lie. You know, I'll say, oh, I'm good. You know, I'm not, because I don't want to burden someone with, like, you know, I'm not doing well. Like, yeah, maybe we should, you know, do a call. So, like, I don't want to do, I'm just like, oh, yeah, I'm good. Like, summer's good. Like, everything's good. Like, how are you? It's just like, you know, and so I think that space of, like, if things are not good, I think my close friends, especially doing, given what I'm doing, are now a lot more comfortable in being like, okay, actually, I'll just tell you how I'm actually feeling. And like, I won't feel like, you know, you'll judge me or you'll think I'm weak or something like that.
No, I think that's very true about just when you allow yourself to be very authentic and vulnerable, it makes other people also feel like they can do that back. And I think sometimes I forget just like, that is what friendships are for. It's to be able to go through life, not just the fun times, not just the nights out, but like actually go through life with these people. And it's when we hold back all the sides of our lives, that's when you actually become more inauthentic because it's like they don't know what's going on in your life. And it's kind of like not being two-faced, but it's just holding back on very important parts of your life, which is when you're not feeling your best, because that can be a lot of your life where you're not feeling great because you're trying to get that promotion or you're trying to get through this hard family problem or all these things that are going on.
I mean, it's safe to say, and I'll admit this myself, I probably have never said, outside when I've been texted, how are you doing? I have probably never said anything outside of I'm good. You know, unless I've been going through like a family death or something like that, unless like, and I, you know, and I admit it myself, like I probably have never ever given, I'm, you know, okay, I'm struggling with blank. Like I've never done that.
Right.
It's only recently that I've, and even now it's tough for me to do that, but like it's only recently, I think now with having, you know, one of our mutual friends, you know, unfortunately pass away, where I think that any of us have even been open to that response.
I feel like, I think about this all the time. When I was on that work, people are always like, oh, hey, how's it going? I say the same thing every time. And it is, like, I say it and I want to throw up after. I'm like, ah, pretty good. Doing pretty good, how are you? Pretty good, how are you? Pretty good. I say it all and I'm like,
Sometimes it's like people, like at work, like people walk by so fast and we'll be like, hey, how are you? Then I'm like,
they don't stop.
So all I have time to say is like, I'm good, how are you? Like, yeah. And I'm like running by to go do the next thing.
So I'd rather you didn't ask me.
I know.
Just little like, wave's good enough.
I should just be like, hey, hi.
I don't need to have the conversation. I don't know.
But yeah, hey, how are you? Almost is like, it just, at least in this society, it just implies like you just say you're good. Because then that's the only amount of time you have to answer. Usually when you're like in passing, you're like, hey, okay, I'm good.
Yeah. You just get a couple words out and
exactly.
Hope it makes sense.
So. And like I said, like I'm victim to it in terms of my friends texting. I am safe to say prior to like starting this, I don't think I've ever given a I'm not doing well. Yeah. I'll always say I'm good or like, you know, I'm tired from work or like something. Like I won't ever say I'm struggling. Mm-hmm. Like I don't think I've ever said that in a text to a friend prior to starting Grateful Living.
Wow. I was gonna say in regards to Grateful Living podcasts, what is? Because I only recently started listening to your episodes, but I know you have how many episodes do you have now to date?
I have probably 65 interviews, and then I've done like you know, random like life topics, probably close to 40 of them or something like that.
Wow.
So you have over 100 total, you think?
I would say so. Wow. I would think so.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, do you have a favorite episode that you, or a favorite interview maybe, that stands out in your mind? Just to give our listeners kind of an insight on things that you talk about on your podcast.
Yeah, so I had an individual named Adam Burak talk about his alcohol addiction. Which was really powerful. Danny's episode on attempting suicide at 14 and her mental health journey after that was quite powerful. I had one individual named Royale who was a former drug dealer who talked about that, which was... quite interesting. And then I would say another one was Anna Sweeney. She lost her mom on 9/11. That was a very very interesting episode for me, probably my toughest interview, the interview I was the most awkward in, the most pauses. That was just, as I talk about, you know, authentic conversations, I mean, asking her questions about that day and losing her mom was, you know, quite tough.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. And how have you found these people to interview? Is it through mutual friends or because I think that you're having very vulnerable conversations and with people that maybe you don't know, but like you clearly are able to have really good conversations, as I've listened to a few of them already, and make people feel very safe and comfortable and able to talk about these difficult experiences. So are they friends or do you just kind of find people through social media or what?
Yeah, no, it started out just being my personal network. Adam is, you know, somebody I went to high school with. Mm-hmm. He reached out to me. I mean, obviously, as we've talked about, I had no idea he dealt with that. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, nobody is going to publicly, you know, talk about that on their personal Instagram or Facebook. So he reached out and said, listen, this is something I've been through. I think it could be powerful. And he's the one... You know, obviously Danny went to my high school too, but like I didn't know that Danny dealt with those types of issues. I'm not sure how much Adam knew, but he basically said like, listen, Danny's dealt with, you know, some mental health issues before. She has a lot of wisdom in this area. He created a group chat for us to mm-hmm. see if Danny was open to it. Anna went to my high school. I knew about her. You know, obviously, there were like five or six families in Acton that lost people in 9/11. She was, you know, a year below me, so I knew about her mom for quite a while. And then Royale was introduced to me from a guy named Jamal Eversley, who was also on the podcast. You know, Jamal, I interviewed him about his art journey, but he knew Royale as a friend and as someone who dealt with like homelessness and things of that nature. So it all also gone through his mental health struggles, but now owns a community center. So he has made quite a quite a turnaround in his life. So it was mostly, you know, either they've reached out to me or somewhat personal network and just remembering what things people have been through and then just being introduced. A combination of all of those.
That's awesome. Wow. I mean, that's a, I feel like interviews and like, I mean, I love listening to podcasts, shows where there's an interviewer, interviewee, because I feel like it's just, like, you can hear people having such honest conversations. Sometimes in that one-on-one setting, it just makes it easier. And then also just being able to share it with other people is so powerful. So I'm so glad that you were able to make this podcast and are having great, not just great, but very honest conversations on it.
So. No, I agree. I like the consistency of the interviewer and then, like, the changing new new conversations that the interviewees bring. That's definitely, I think, something that I like with those types of podcasts. I think that's something that we like to, why we throw in some interviews here and there within our show. Kind of keep it a little fresh. I think our viewers like us a lot, but I don't know if they're wanted to hear just me and AJ every
just
single week.
Just us talking.
If we also kind of have on, you know, talented guests. I mean, I would say what you do is a talent. And not everybody can host a podcast, be consistent, upload, and do it all for a purpose. So I do consider what you do a talent, Arnie. I guess I just want to kind of just bring it back a little bit to the, you know, the topic of the series, though. How crucial of a role do you think friendships play on mental health? Like, obviously, having that person there. We talked about support systems. I don't know if you want to talk about that a little bit or dive into that topic, Arnie.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're crucial. I think, you know, being, you know, obviously, you know, for crazier situations, obviously, professionals should be obviously being seen, therapists or things of that nature. But just in general, with, you know, everyday life ups and downs, you know, being able to go through life, through the good times and the bad times, and have someone you can authentically, you know, speak about different things with. Right. So I'll give an example. Like, you know, during my senior year, I think one of my friends whose parents are divorced, like, we had a really, you know, really good conversation on, you know, the history of that and how it's affected him. It was something that we hadn't done, even though I had known him since freshman year. And so one of the things that happened two or three years after we had graduated is, you know, another stressful situation arose with his parents. And it was really nice for him to be able to then go to me, because I had the back story of, you know, what he had told me, and for him to just process that. And one of the things, you know, especially what we've talked about, John, like in terms of men not showing their feelings, is these things are affecting us. You know, whether we choose to talk about them or not is a choice of our own.
Yep.
But it's not like by not talking about it, it doesn't affect you. It's going to affect you. And being able to just process something with your friend and just be authentic with, you know, a situation, it provides great support. And it's just nice to get that out of your brain and really just talk about it, and have someone where you feel like you trust them and you can say these things, you know, and you know, I've had a couple friends, you know, come out as either gay or bi and things of that nature. And, you know, for them to be comfortable in you being one of the first ones to know, I mean, that feels amazing. I mean, it just, it's one of those things where you're like, you know, because they would have been holding on to that. And it's nice to know, you know, that someone's got your back and you've got their back and, you know, you're supporting them, you know, wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I like what you said there about, because, like, you had already had that backstory, it made him maybe a little bit more likely or more comfortable to already come to you, since he didn't have to explain everything, the whole situation all over again, as he maybe had to with a therapist or, like, even somebody else. But just, like, I feel like the friendships are there. Like, I appreciate my friendships that are there because I know that when things are not good, I do have people who know me, who understand my situations, where sometimes when I'm feeling bad, I don't want to have to talk a ton to, like, explain the whole backstory. At least I have people who already relatively know what's going on in my life. So then when something does happen, I can just talk about that one thing and not have to rewind the whole story. So it's almost like friendships are there as like safety nets as well, to have people who already kind of know the situation. So, but yeah, thank you so much. I guess my last question is, if there's a, or not a question or a request, one message, if you'd like to leave with our audience, what would that be? Whether it's advice or whether it's a call to action, anything like that.
You know, I think one thing that we didn't talk about yet, but it was just, you know, being present is part of the equation.
Yeah.
You know, and that requires effort, you know, and you know, obviously with adult life, you know, responsibilities become more of a thing. But I'm always of the thought process that, you know, if they mean enough, you'll put in the time, you'll take the time to put in the effort. And so I think, you know, just being intentional about trying to make that commitment. And, you know, again, I'm not a planner, but one of the things that I've tried to do is, like, anytime I catch up with someone who lives, like, geographically far from me, you know, I'll say, all right, let's put in our calendar, you know, 2 months from now, this date and time, so that even if life gets crazy, it's like, okay, it's on the cat. Like, I found that has been one of the, really, like, not a life hack, but, like, it's just been an easy way to actually keep in touch, because things do, you know, and you forget, has it been 1 month since I got up with them, 2 months, 3 months, and then suddenly it's 6 months. So, you know, having the ability when you do catch up to actually, at the end of that call, be like, all right, 2 months from now, we're setting this date, and if it doesn't work out, we can at least communicate that weekend.
Yeah.
I love that.
And yeah, and I mean, as I've said before, I think the biggest thing that you hope out of friendship is being your authentic self and them supporting you in that. I think that you don't want to be acting, you don't want to be faking. When things are bad, and, you know, like, to just say that they're bad, like, you know, and I think that is really powerful. And I think I would just say, like, you know, I would, if you can, remind all your friends that you are there for them no matter what. Mm-hmm. And knowing and telling them that you value them, you love them, they matter, you know, they make your life better, you know, having these, you know, I don't feel like it's tough for us to view ourselves and our self-worth like that.
Yeah.
But hearing that said to you, it just kind of, okay, there is a purpose, there's a reason, you know, people love me, I make people's days better, you know, this person has my back, I have their back. You know, just, I would just, you know, I mean, I didn't talk about this, but so in July of 2020, I actually lost another friend to suicide. And so then I started taking the Grateful Living stuff a lot more seriously. You know, and again, in both of those situations, you know, with the March of 2019 person, I was in contact with them 4 months prior. With the July of 2020 person, I was in contact with them 2.5 months prior. Like, one of the biggest regrets, again, I have is first not telling them about my, you know, story. And then second, just not reemphasizing to them, I am literally here no matter what. If I need it, you know, I will take, you know, a plane, you know, to where, like, you, where you are in a pinch. Like, that's literally my level of commitment. Like, you being on this earth is important. So, I mean, those are the two things, is I would say effort and you know, being intentional with that, and then two, just making sure you give people their flowers and making sure that they really understand their value. I think that, you know, I think you guys are in the working professional world as well. You know, and the good thing is you two have each other, but like, I think one of the things that it gets lonely, you know, because you're working so many hours, and then you're, as I said, you're meeting up in social context, usually with drinking involved. Like, it can get lonely. And so, you know, you never know where people are, despite how it might look on their Instagram profile. So just being intentional with them to say, if anything's going bad, like, please, I'm here.
Mm-hmm. What I will say, for the short time that we've known each other, I know that if I ever need someone to talk to, I got someone I can go to. So I appreciate having you there.
Same
goes 100%. Back. You ever want to chat, you know, we're always around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
100%. Well, thank you so much for spending your Sunday afternoon on Tofu Talk Pod. And that wraps up our friendship series. If you have any feedback for us, or want to talk to us more about these topics that we've been discussing on this series, we'd love to chat. Our DMs are always open. Our email is maybe in our podcast bio.
So in the bio, you'll have links to connect with Arnie. You'll have all his contact information down there. You'll see our Instagram and our email as well. So we appreciate everyone tuning in to today's interview. Go check out the Grateful Living podcast.
Yes.
We'll have that linked as well. And yeah, Arnie, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.